Hello, hello. Thank you, Goethe.
Ladies, oi, ladies and gentlemen,
Welcome to the public defense of Goitom Velde Vareid, entitled Resilience of Infrastructure Network, Byzantine Consensus Interdependencies and Optimization in Sparse Networks. The thesis has been submitted in partial fulfillment with the requirements for the degree of PhD in Information Security at NTNU's Faculty of Information Technology and Electrical Engineering. At 10:15 this morning, the doctoral candidate presented his trial lecture. And before the public dissertation defense can take place, the evaluation committee needs to take the decision regarding approval of the trial lectures. So I ask the administrator of the committee of the outcome.
The trial lecture was approved.
Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Then, apologies, I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Nils Gastner Svensson, and I'm the department head of the Department of Information Security and Communication Technology here in NTNU, and I'll conduct this defense. Then to the candidate, Goitom has been a PhD candidate in the Information Security Program at the Norwegian Information Security Laboratory at NTNU in Gjøvik. He received his master's degree in Information Security from Royal Holloway University of London, and holds several professional certifications, including Certified Expert Penetration Tester. He has worked as a network security researcher in information security and network security and network security agency in Ethiopia. His PhD work, which he will be defending today, investigates the problem of Byzantine consensus, interdependencies, and optimization in sparse networks. The evaluation committee and its administrator are the following. The first external opponent is researcher Gilles Trédon from LAIS, Laboratory for Analysis and Architecture of System in France. Welcome. The second external opponent is Associate Professor Rebecca Montanari from Department of Informatics at the University of Bologna, Italy. Welcome. And the internal opponent and administrator of the committee is Professor Sokratis Katsikas from NTNU. Welcome. As a notice, before we start, questions ex auditorium must be notified to me as the chairman during the break between the first and the second opposition. And the contribution should be well prepared and precisely formulated and submitted within a time frame of no longer than 10 minutes. On this, I leave the floor to you, Goitom.
Thank you for your kind introduction, Nils. So, hi, everybody. I'm going to talk about my thesis, Resilience of Infrastructure Networks, Byzantine Consensus, Interdependency, and Optimization in Sparse Networks. The outline of my talk will be, I will introduce what resilience infrastructure networks and talk about the research questions. Then I'll describe the research on the different categories, Byzantine consensus, modeling, interdependency, demand management. Finally, I will summarize my talk. Introduction. Critical infrastructure provides services needed for a nation to function properly and support its society. For this reason, they are expected to be available 24 hours a day, 360 days a year. There are several definitions of critical infrastructures. Different countries have different list of critical infrastructure systems. As an example, the European Commission Directive 2008/114/EC defined critical infrastructure as an asset system or part thereof located in member states which is essential for the maintenance of vital societal function, health, safety, security, economic or social well-being of the people, and the disruption of which would have a significant impact on the member state, result of failure to maintain those functions. Yes, as an example of critical infrastructures, government organizations, emergency services, telecommunication, energy, transport, bank and service, oil and gas. And those systems are geographically distributed and rely heavily on communication networks for remote monitoring and control, example using SCADA. Many of the systems are exposed to cyber attacks similar to computer-based networks on the internet. For some examples, Stuxnet worm attack on Iran's nuclear facility in 2010, black energy malware used in Ukraine power grid attacks, and recently left of launch cyber effort designed to prevent North Korea from successful building and testing ballistic missiles by the U.S. Moreover, those infrastructures are interdependent due to the service they provide and receive from one another. For example, smart grid, where the operation of the electric grid relies on ICT, and further, the ICT would not function without the power supply from the power grid. And a failure in one infrastructure or component can cascade through dependencies to other infrastructure and can even cascade back to the originating component or infrastructure via interdependency. As an example, there was a failure in the power grid in Italy, which affected the communication, and there was a failure to the electric power in Oslo, which affected the transport in 2007. So therefore, the reliability and availability of critical infrastructure systems are essential to support the orderly function of society and economy. These systems require fault and intrusion tolerant, cascade resilient and efficient services that function correctly even under harsh cyber attacks that manage to correct some part of the system. In this context, resilience refers to the ability of the system to anticipate, absorb, adapt, or rapidly recover from potential disruptive events. Due to the increasing unpredictability and impact of disruptive events in our society, designing and managing resilient infrastructure network is of a critical importance. Some directions to infrastructure resilience: increase the system resilience through resiliency, Byzantine consensus techniques, presenting an approach to model and analyze the impact of interdependency or dependency in interdependent networks, compare infrastructure design with respect to their resilience will lead to more informed design decisions and hence to more robust infrastructures. Just to motivate the research problem, Byzantine consensus. Byzantine algorithms based on this Byzantine asynchronous message passing systems are used as important building blocks in critical applications. Some examples are Avonix, distributed ledger systems, Bitcoin, and critical infrastructure systems. This approach assumes that system remains to a certain extent vulnerable, or there could be an attack, and the attack could be successful, and tries to ensure the system still delivers its service correctly, even some of its components are compromised. As I mentioned earlier, as many of this infrastructure are physically, locally, logically, they were separate systems, but due to this interdependence, using the advance in ICT and the necessity and efficiency of this infrastructure have become interlinked. Thus, it's important to assess and understand the vulnerability of interdependent networks in the presence of natural disaster or cyber attacks. So, modeling, network modeling and simulation can give us insight about their interconnection between each other. Just as an application, the need to consider demand management in microgrids and the need to maintain balance between supply and demand is fundamentally constrained in electrical operation systems. Demand management is key to the efficiency and reliability of smart grids. Even more in smart grid environment, in microgrid environment, the effective and reliable operation of microgrids required to rely on demand management. And this cannot rely on centralized demand management mechanisms, so it should be distributed demand management. So it's vital to investigate the robust and distributed demand mechanism using optimization methods. Therefore, this thesis investigates the problem of Byzantine consensus interdependency optimization in sparse networks. Just to mention the research questions which formulated. One, Byzantine consensus related to Byzantine consensus. How efficient can asynchronous Byzantine consensus be in a selected sparse graphs or networks? Related to modeling infrastructure networks, how to optimize or characterize the structure arising from joining of two power law networks for better robustness against cascading failure in interdependent networks? Can robust and decentralized demand side management program provide a solution which helps to reduce electric cost, peak demand, and consumer disintegration in microgrids? So, to describe or to explain the research in Byzantine consensus, Most critical infrastructure systems require correct interaction among large number of geographical dispersed nodes, example sensors, actuators. So such systems cannot normally employ fail-step mechanism and must be fault-tolerant. And there also should be robust to targeted attacks, require a stronger model, Byzantine fault tolerance. Byzantine fault detection and tolerance is known a hard problem, and consensus problem is as a consensus problem in the process of Byzantine faults. So the ability to rapidly reach consensus is critical. In most cases, the dominant problem is message complexity, for example, for latency purposes. So this part studies such type of consensus problem, but first-person networks, as are important in critical infrastructure systems, but not considered adequately. So what's consensus problem? A consensus problem allows a set of distributed processes to agree on a value despite the presence of various faults of type. A number of consensus variants exist, but here we consider binary consensus to reach agreement either on 0 or 1. The requirement, if a process decides V, then V was the initial value proposed by some processes. All processes that decide choose the same value, and probability determination, every correct process eventually decides with probability 1. However, there is impossibility result by Fisher, Lynch, Patterson, which is commonly known as FLP impossibility result, which shows there is no deterministic protocol that guarantees to reach consensus in asynchronous message passing systems, even with a single process crash failure. This is due to it's very challenging to differentiate between a slow process and a process which is crashed or failed. So to circumvent this flip result, the first approach to circumvent this impossibility was randomization. Randomization by Born-Orr. Of course, there are other methods like failure detector, hybrid using wormhole, but just for this case, we consider the randomization and operates in rounds. Each round has two phases. Phase one, each process sends its proposal. Phase two, if each process gets majority for the proposal, decide else flip a coin to check choose the next proposal. And the termination is guaranteed with probability one. This tolerates F less than N over two crash failures. So this result was extended by Korea in 2010 for Byzantine failure model. And the methodology used to this modification consists in enhancing the algorithm with a set of mechanisms that constrain the power of faulty processes and require mutinous failure detector, which detects if a process apparently stopped following the algorithm. So clearly that it tolerates F out of, N should be greater than 2F plus 1, where F is the failure number of failure nodes and is the total number of nodes. However, most of the existing results more or less assume fully or random connectivity, but large real networks like the critical infrastructure follow the scale-free. A significant extension to consider the case of asynchronous Byzantine consensus over sparse graphs, for example, for AR, for scale-free and AR. Random graph. So to address this objective, we describe the algorithm which achieves the desired primary result with stronger constraint message. Just assumption, system and network assumption. The system consists of a set of N processes, and asynchronous model is considered, which with no bounds on message transmission delay, process execution, process communicate only by message passing, authenticated reliable channel, Byzantine failure model, and mutinous failure detector. Network model. A number of network models have been considered to generate network structures similar to real-world complex networks. Some examples are Erdos-Reni random networks, small-world networks, scale-free networks. So the Erdos-Reni model, it connects. Every node is connected with same probability with P. So if we see, this is like probability 0, and this one probability 0, 1. The connection increases as the P, the probability increases. the property of this model, the number of edges in this model is like p n times n minus 1 over 2. And it has this binomial degree distribution or Poisson for large number of n. So the number of edges and n is assumed to be arbitrarily fixed and significantly large. So Nash Williams showed that there are k edge spanning tree in two edge connected graphs. However, using this Thorne-Hausman algorithm, a set of k edge spanning trees can be found with big O notation and our load depths. This result will be used later to analyze the algorithm. So I was introducing the network models, and now this Byzantine consensus over ER random or Erdos-Rani random networks. Each process P proposes a value 0 or 1, and then all correct process decides on same value. It's adapted from the square et al. Variant of Benor algorithm. It uses reliable broadcast as communication primitive. So each process reliably broadcasts its current state over the k-edge spanning tree to exchange estimate and wait for n minus k, n minus k processes, message from processes. If majority found, takes its value, otherwise flip a coin to decide a new value. Which is the highlighted, the blue highlighted, the second. Yes. Then as a second phase, the process broadcasts again message to type of message to over this spanning tree, and they decide if they received majority of the messages, otherwise flip a coin to for new estimates. Yeah, just the reliable to the reliable broadcast. Here, in this algorithm, the reliable broadcast is used to communicate the messages, and it has the following properties or requirement. All correct processes deliver the same set of message. The set only contains message from correct processes. If a correct process broadcasts a message M, then its dual delivers M. If correct process delivers a message M, then all correct process eventually delivers M. Integrate from any message, every correct process delivers M at once. The reliable broadcast algorithm satisfies this property over k-edge disjoint ring. This is how the reliable broadcast algorithm works. First, every node sends initial estimate. Then, those nodes which receive from other processes echo the message to the other processes. And task two. So, to analyze the performance of the algorithm and compare with the Cora et al. Benner algorithm, first let's consider that the processes are not suspected. All correct processes receive all messages using the k-edge spanning tree. The Cora variant algorithm sends n times n minus 1 p over 2 message in each. This n. It's the number of the message is counted based on the number of messages, and this message it's the number of edges from the Erdos-Rani type of model, and the modified variant algorithm sends this n minus 1 p k. Why? Because we consider spanning tree, so if spanning tree has n minus 1 edges. So n minus 1 times p, the probability of the graph, k because we are using edge disjoint, so sending the same message using different edges. However, it's important to consider message complexity of finding the minimum spanning tree due to the network setup. In another case, there are some processes, faulty processes, and the fault detector detects the failure, and every node retransmits the message. So, in the first case, since every process rebroadcasts the message, it will be n times n, n minus 1 times p over 2 messages for the original Korea et al. Variant algorithm. But the modified, it will be n times n minus 1 p k. Similar case, it's important to consider the message complexity of finding the minimum sparing tree. So putting everything together, the modified variant of the Bernoulli algorithm is more efficient compared with the original Korea algorithm because it's p square here, this one with this one or the first case and this one for the second case. It's nq n square. To consider another case, another space graph, the scale-free network. As I mentioned earlier, the power law network or scale-free networks are the probability that a node has k links follow p k direct proportional k to the power of minus gamma, where gamma is a power law exponent. Most real-world networks follow this scale property with the value of gamma typically 2 less than gamma less than 3. And most vertex have few nodes, while few nodes have many connections. As a scale-free network, the configuration model is considered with a given degree distribution. And this model, for every vertex with degree k, it creates an open stamp, like to connect randomly with every node. So the degree distribution of this can be calculated as pk, degree of a given vertex over n. And the average degree in the graph is summation of k, the probability distribution. And the number of edges in this graph is given by the average degree n over 2. So there are different models to represent the scale-free graph, like Barbassi-Albert model, configuration model. The Barbassi-Albert model has fixed exponent 3, and it's better it considers the configuration model to have broad representation of different networks. Similarly, here, a reliable broadcast is considered to as a communication primitive, and the reliable broadcast uses the structure of the network, where instead of every node forwarding the message, high degree nodes will forward the message. First, the high degrees will be searched using random walk, and then the message will be broadcasting using the high degree nodes. Here is how the broadcast algorithm works. This one, for example, to consider whether a node is high or like a hub. We can consider a degree a node which has more than the average degree. So if vertex has more than greater than d, this nodes will broadcast send messages with high probability. This means the nodes with high connectivity will retransmit the message. And the second one the nodes with few connection will forward the message with low probability. So just this algorithm differs from the previous one because it uses the high degree nodes to forward the message instead of every nodes forwarding the message. Yeah. Yeah, it's similar as previous algorithm, but the main difference is on the structure of the network. We use the high degree nodes to forward the message. And the message complexity of the original Korea Bernoulli algorithm, average degree n over 2 message in each phase, the modified Korea ital variant sends probability of high times the average degree plus probability of low plus the average degree message. And in this case, it's important to consider message complexity of the searching the high degree nodes for of in the network. And this is given as QE, QC. It is this percolation search technique. So for the first case, when there are no process failure, the message complexity will be average KN square over two message, and the modified will use probability of high N average plus probability of messages. So when we compare this thing, the summation, the left side, the probability of high plus probability of low is less, much less than the KN over 2 or the N square 2. There is a significant reduction in the message complexity. So moving to modeling infrastructure interdependence. As I introduced earlier, infrastructure networks are interdependent, and there is a property which couple network or failure in interdependent network can cascade using the dependence or interdependency. So it's important to investigate the structure arising from two power law networks, where the dependence between the two networks can result give some insights about their robustness. So dependence is a linkage or connection between two infrastructures through which a state of one infrastructure inflows or is correlated to the state of the other. Interdependency, a bi-directional relation between two infrastructures. Just to use the graph, the figure. So for example, using this line, the electric power is dependent on the ICT. So this one is just dependency, because one way, if it's two way like this, the electricity depends on the ICT and the ICT depends on the electric power, it's interdependence. So as you can see, many infrastructures are dependent on the ICT. And there are different approaches to model infrastructure. It's like agent-based model, input-output, graph theoretical method. And here we will use the graph theoretical method. So a power grid and ICT is considered as scale-free. Both of the networks follow scale-free. And this result proposed by Li et al. Allows to estimate the path length distribution of power law networks, where PL is 1 over 1 minus 1 over alpha, the power of C over C, where this path length will be used to describe the power length distribution of the whole network. Just to give, I just mentioned earlier, but this is the graphical, the difference between the random and scale-free. The red are the considered high degree nodes, and this thing, this figure represents with similar degree, with similar connection. And this one, as you can see, then the nodes have more on the average degree. So. When the connection between the power law and the power network and the ICT, if the connection is in one infrastructure, it's called intralink, and if the connection connects to infrastructure, it's called interlink. So to join the two infrastructures, randomly to connect two infrastructures, it's considered with equal probability. So the interconnection is represented here. this one NK, the K connections can be selected from N nodes of infrastructure one. And the connection can be ordered in different orders, K permutation, over 1 over the other infrastructure. And this is the probability not being selected. So the puzzling distribution is computed as the intralinks, or the links from one infrastructure, plus the interlinks, the linking or connecting that infrastructure, plus the interlinks of the other infrastructure, the second infrastructure. So this will be the distribution. This is for the first infrastructure. This is their interconnection, and this is the second infrastructure, the path lengths of the second infrastructure. And cycles represent, cycles arise in joining the two infrastructures. So these cycles can indicate the interdependency between the two infrastructures. And using this Pedro et al., the cycle of this infrastructure can be calculated using this equation. Moving to demand management in microgrids, the need to maintain balance between the supply and demand is fundamental in power grid, and there is this integration of distributed energy resources and controllable loads to bring opportunity to increase power system efficiency. However, there is interdependence or variability of the renewable energy, especially when the microgrid is considered in isolated mode, which introduces a challenge to balance the demand and supply. So it's the effective and reliable operation of the microgrid should be requires demand management. Moreover, the efficiency of the solution can be improved using demand projection to enable estimation of the future load that increase the DSM flexibility. So consensus algorithms and their application have been studied as effective coordination and control of distributed energy sources. For example, this Domingo's proposed distributed algorithm for control and coordination of load and distributed energy resources via information access among neighbors nodes. We studied a distributed demand projection approach based on approximate consensus algorithm to coordinate and enable a group of devices to agree on a way to use power that are different from each other by predefined tolerance value. And power consumption scheduling also allows to modify the consumer's demand profile by rescheduling flexible load to offload off-peak hours. So power consumption scheduling can be solved using two approaches, centralized and decentralized. In the centralized case, every household sends its load to a given centralized controller. Then the centralized controller will solve the problem and send their schedule. But in a decentralized approach, every consumer manages and schedules their energy consumption and only reports aggregate load to the central controller. So the decentralized approach is better because it's robust and for privacy reasons. In the centralized case, if the central controller fails or it has privacy concerns. So in this case, we studied a distributed optimization approach based on ADMM, or alternating direction method of multiplier, to solve power consumption scheduling in a distributed manner. So just a system to introduce the system model, we consider a community-based smart microgrid with certain number of residential households, distributed energy resources. Each consumer has a low-cost local controller that controls and communicates with different appliances. And the local controller helps the consumer to manage and schedule their consumption of electricity in order to minimize their cost and satisfaction. This is a graphical representation. And as you can see, the local controller here, it indicates the distributed competition at every household. And in the centralized case, local controllers send the load to this microgrid central controller and this service and send back their schedule to the local controller. So when it has some privacy concern because it collects every information to solve the scheduling. So, and the appliance models are characterized based on priority, interruptibility, and power consumption patterns. For some appliances can be scheduled or moved, but some they should be served immediately. For example, like light, when the light it has high priority, but like washing machine or electric vehicle, they can be shifted to off-peak hours, like midnight. This represents how the communication between the consumption scheduling, shiftable and non-shiftable. So the power consumption scheduling problem is formulated as convex optimization problem, where each consumer wishes to minimize the power consumption by finding optimal power schedule, and the utility wishes to minimize the cost of operating the microgrid while ensuring the demand and supply. This is the representation where this is the load by the utility and this is the load by the every household. But this should be there should be a balance here. The demand should be balanced with the supply. So to solve this in a decentralized method, we give the alternating direction method of multipliers. Just to introduce this method, it solves separable problems where decision variable decomposes into variables, minimize like F1, X1 plus F2, X2, when the constraint is A1, X1 plus A2, X2, which is called C. This operator, or the ADMM operates on augmented Lagrange, defined as using this equation. This method doesn't consider the strict convexity and fitness, so this is the robust method. So it minimizes first this one. It minimizes first with F1, X1. First with X1, then X2, finally updates the dual variable. Just add this one. First X1 while fixing the X2 as before, then later it uses the recent value, this X1 k to the power of 1, and fixes the X2. Then finally it updates the lambda. So similarly, using this technique, the power consumption scheduling is solved. This one, like this, just using this similar. This is the formulation for this function, and this is the equation for the power consumption I mentioned earlier. So. Every local controller can solve this power consumption using this PKT, the k the power of 1. Similarly to X1, like solving this X1, this one serves, every load solves their optimal power consumption scheduling using this technique. But they need to update this lambda to balance the disagreement between the demand and the supply. Here is the algorithm, like everyone solves from this Q1 solves for the utility. It solves using this equation, and every household solves load, just optimal way of solving their load, which is efficient to their needs, like shifting some appliances. But the difference in the demand and balance should be updating using this. However, those devices can be can be compromised. Especially there is this technique called false data injection attacks, where basic bad data detection relies on residual vector, where discarding with a range, like there is a bound. If the error or the modification is above the range, it's considered an attack. But within the range, with a given range, an attack can be performed, and it's called false data detection using the stealthy attack. So this attack was introduced by the Liu et al. Against state estimation in power grid. So an attacker that gained access through the local control can manipulate the measurement sent to the controller. And let's consider the attack can send, for example, this one, it's like a given load from local controller plus modification or attack. So the control signal from the microgrid controller will use this. For example, this one, it's normal without attack, but this one, it introduces the attack. So it will change the value of this one with the attack. So if A is not zero, the attack will be able to drive the control signal by A to an erroneous solution or prevent ADMM solution to converge. So the size of the attack is defined as based on the attack vector. A small attack size implies smaller corruption added. This Sandberg et al. Introduced the notion of Stochastic Index to characterize the minimum effort needed for targeted attacks. So to conclude the talk, this test has investigated the problem of Byzantine consensus interdependence and optimization in sparse networks. First, two Byzantine consensus algorithms are investigated in asynchronous systems using the AR and power law model. And the message complex shows a significant reduction in both cases. In the first case, when we consider edge distance spanning tree, in the second case, when we consider the Heidegger nodes to forward the messages or retransmit the messages. As second, the modeled and analyzed structure of arising from incomplete join of two power law networks. The ICT and power network are modeled as power law graphs and considered the addition or removal of dependency in the sparse random graph. Creation of interdependence between the two networks. The reported mechanism for characterizing the path length distribution and number of lengths of cycles indicate or give insights to how robust is the overall interdependent network. And the response to attack can be measured by the changes that may happen in the system connectivity and functionality. Finally, a distributed demand management is studied. And the first case, approximate consensus is used to project demand. And in second case, distributed power consumption scheduling is studied. As a future work, the property of graphs consisting of multiple power law graphs and efficient consensus algorithms can be investigated. Further study on the structure arising from incomplete joining of different multigraph topologies, and to evaluate the proposed algorithms through numerical simulation and experiments. Thank you very much.
So, hello again. So, before I start, if there's anything you don't understand in my bloody French accent, don't hesitate to ask again. It's better if we start on a lexical good understanding. Okay, so first question. In your introductory slide, slide 6, you say left of launch in the US in 2016. Can you tell me a bit more about what happened there?
This one, it's recent. So they are using the cyber attacks to prevent like this. Usually, or the existing method, they intercept the missiles after it's launched using the traditional techniques. But using cyber, they are trying to modify the measurements so that it is not launched, the attack. For instead of launching, it can be prevented before launching.
Okay. Can you, so you said there are many scale-free networks in the reality. Can you tell us a bit more about why do we see these scale-free networks? Where do they come from? Where do they emerge?
These structures are emerging because of the continual growth of the network. It's new nodes add to the existing. And when the nodes add, especially if you consider this Barbassi-Albert model, it adds to the to a node with more nodes. The rich get more richer. The node with more connections gets more connection. So few nodes will have more connections than the other. It starts from joining the network.
Okay, and if I see on a high level what you presented on this consensus part, so you use Baynor's variant on networks that are not complete.
Yes.
And so you use them in different type of network. One is scale-free, the other one is random.
Yes.
Oh, uniformly random, I prefer, because scale-free are random, no?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, well, that's random, but
okay. So you mean Erdos-Schwenny types of networks?
Yes.
Okay. And well, if you had to choose, so let's say I have a complete network now, and I notice that you have this contribution from your PhD, and I want to pay a cheaper price for my consensus, so I can choose to cut some link in my network. Would that be a good idea?
Can you please?
So I have a complete topology here, but I don't want to pay the full price of it. And I've read your thesis, and I see that if we use sparse network, then we pay less for the consensus.
But it depends on the parameters, the number of nodes, the edges. There is a complete network. So it depends on the structure of the network.
No, but I have a complete network now.
So it will be, you will get more messages, so it's not efficient. Why? Because every node, for example, when one node sends message to the network, every node will retransmit the message. So this retransmission, if we have four nodes, if every word retransmits, the message will be more. But if we have like sparse, few edges like spanning tree, the edge will be four, for example. I mean, three, n minus one.
Okay, so now I have my complete network, and I understood what you said. So I tell myself, maybe if I cut some edges in my complete network, I will have a sparse network.
But when you cut it, somehow for example, if you have big network, to what extent will you cut it?
To profit from it,
we are considering these large scale networks. So for few nodes, you can remove some edges and make it seem like sparse. But when we study these bigger networks, it's better to study their structure, even their sparsity. Exists according to their distribution.
Okay, so let's take it differently. I have a set of nodes that I need to connect, and I can connect them in any way. I have the budget to connect them up to a complete network. But I don't want to connect them up to a complete network because since I've seen your thesis, I know that if I get a complete network, I will pay a lot.
Yes.
Okay? This works that way?
Yes.
Okay, better than constructing everything and cutting. So, how should I do it? Should I do it with spanning trees or should I do it with a scale-free fashion?
You have a given network. But I say these networks evolve. We can have like a toy example of network, and we can cut to make it sparse. But
now you want to cut. Okay. All right.
But for fixed network, mm-hmm. for example, for fixed network, if you construct similar, like you can get efficient message, there is no difference whether you start from complete or start from.
Mm-hmm.
The point is it should be sparse, efficient. You should transmit the messages. You should reach consensus. That's the issue, whether you have complete or, but of course the efficiency matters.
But if the efficiency matters for me, so what is the network I should design? Should I design it with spanning trees like the first article you wrote, or with scale-free shaped like the second one you wrote?
Both are sparse, but I use the spanning tree for the random graph. Instead of considering complete network, like every node for retransmitters, how about if constructing the graph with efficient with few number of links, and as we know, spanning trees has less number of links than complete. The complete edge for complete, you get the number of edges like n times n minus 1 over 2. But for spanning tree, it's n minus 1. We have few links. Few links means like few messages, more efficient. Plus, it's k disjoint for fault tolerance. If one fails, the other can.
This is not my question. My question is: okay, you have two techniques using different types of sparse graph.
Yes.
The first one, you have a sparse graph that is issued out of a random graph.
Okay.
And so you take k spanning trees out of this random graph. Mm. You agree with that? Okay, so this is the A type.
Yes.
Okay, the B type, you have a scale-free network structure with a center and less connected node there. Okay, so which one should I build with my budget of links?
Okay. So scale-free.
Scale-free?
Yeah. Why? You can use the few nodes. To retransmit the message, to reach the message, because many nodes will have few links, but the few nodes will have high links. So if you send your message to one high link node, it can reach the others. But for the random case, all nodes have more or less the average degree.
Mm-hmm.
The average degree. So I think the scale-free is more efficient.
Okay. And okay, so then let's start with scale-free. Now, and if I'm in a distributed setting, how do I get the nodes that should be retransmitting everything?
Excuse me?
So how do I identify the nodes that will be responsible of retransmitting the message, the core nodes?
Yes, yeah, that's the first part of searching the high degree nodes.
Mm-hmm.
There is a technique, random walk and percolation search, mm-hmm. to search the high degree nodes.
Okay, and how many nodes can I find with such thing?
In the paper, to say a node is high degree, it should have more than the average degree of the network.
Okay.
Just the assumption, more than the average degree of the nerd. So the nodes who have more than the average degree will be.
But the distribution of degree is a power law, so the average can be.
Yeah, it's challenging to fix the exact from which node should be the high node, but that is what we are assuming.
Okay, and what happens if the nodes that are on the other side, the high degree nodes, are actually the Byzantines that I don't want to have the opportunity on the network?
Yeah, yes, the number of Byzantines should be less than the bound for the consensus case, because n should be greater than or equal to 2f plus 1. So if the fault nodes are less than the other nodes, I think it should be fine.
So if I have more than 2f plus 1?
Yeah, that's it's compromised.
Okay, but if I have less nodes, so I need nodes that have a high degree?
Yes.
So that have more than the average under your definition, but these nodes they need to be more than 2f plus 1, otherwise they can be all Byzantines.
Yes.
And can this happen in a power law network?
That's the assumption. There will be more normal nodes, few faulty nodes. Otherwise, the algorithm is not it doesn't work. If it's less, if there are more Byzantine nodes, so the algorithm doesn't work. It should be with the limit. The assumption is with the limit.
But you see, in France, for example, where we are way less money than in Norway, the average income is something like 2,000 euro, but the median income is only 1,100 euro. Why so? Okay,
no,
so because the income is also a power law.
Yes.
You get lots of people that earn not much and few people that earn a lot.
Yes.
And these few people, these heavy hitters or these important guys on Facebook, they drag the mean towards the end of the thing. So if I take my income, like, you know, we have this nine Wall Street one-person people that collect half of the richness of the thing. So this means only 1% of people could be Byzantine in an income network, if you imagine that. Okay.
You can use... Of course, the high degree nodes are not only the forwarding. The low degree nodes also forward, but with less probability.
Mm-hmm.
The probability. So, when we analyze the algorithm, it's not we can consider both. The message will reach even from the nodes with low connection, but with less probability. Summing all the nodes with low connection and the nodes with high connection should satisfy the algorithm's requirement. It should be with the n greater than or equal to f plus 1.
Okay. And so you said you find them through random walk.
Yeah.
Okay, but what will the Byzantine do with this random walk?
It's just the first phase is searching the node only. Just to search the high degree nodes.
Yeah, but they are not Byzantine at that point. That's what
Yes.
Okay, they are all right. I'm gentle Byzantine. And for the other approach with the spanning trees, so in this case, how does it work if there are Byzantines? Won't they prevent the spanning trees from forming?
The message passes using this K connectivity. So.
Yeah, but at the beginning you have a graph and you don't know where are.
Yes, yeah, I would say that. It's a requirement. If there are few faulty nodes or Byzantine, the algorithm works, whether it's using the K. But if there are more, it doesn't work.
Okay. If I get on the cost aspect of it, So you say the cost of the cost of the consensus is in the order of nn minus 1 over 2.
Yes.
In the general case, in the complete case, times n. So in the order of n to the power of 3.
For the complete, the message complex will be n times n minus 1 over 2.
And
which is approximately n square over 2. Or n square, in the order of n square. You can approximate big O n square.
Big O of n square.
Yeah.
But this is just for one round, no? Or it's for all the rounds?
No, for one round.
For one round it's n. And if we use your trees, it's
n minus 1.
N minus 1.
Times p is the probability, but plus the k.
For times the k.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So n.
It's linear, yeah.
Okay. And the k is the number of Byzantines you want to tolerate.
No, disjoint. Separate passes.
Mm-hmm. But how many should I choose?
N minus 1. At least we should have 1k. If there are failures for the k, because we are sending redundant message or the same mm-hmm. message using two or three passes. Mm-hmm. So if we have one, the others can be faulty. At least the one.
So I'm not sure. Which k should I choose for my network?
We are sending the same message using different independent passes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, two messages. So if you have one link which sends the message or retransmits, you are fine. The others can be faulty. How many? It depends on the network size.
How?
How many? The number, it depends on the network size. But the main concept, there you should have one. For example, if you have like 5k,
mm-hmm.
four links can be faulty or can fail. But one, if there is one, the network, the algorithm will work.
Okay, so if in my network I have, I assume I want to tolerate up to f Byzantines.
Yes.
Then how should I choose my k?
I didn't consider this case.
But you say me as soon as one reaches it.
Yes. As a general principle, yes. Because we are sending the same message using different passes.
So
as k like 6 or 5, the other can fail, but you need one.
Okay, so maybe if I choose k strictly greater than f, then it would work.
K greater than f.
No?
There are two cases. For the Byzantine case, the nodes, there is a number of nodes. There are few failures. The failure should satisfy this 2f plus 1. But for this k connected, it disjoint, the same message is transmitted using different passes. So n minus 1 can fail. Just we need 1. K minus 1. K minus 1 can fail. You need 1k.
Yeah,
if there is no, so there will not be any communication if all the k's fail.
But what is relaying on the pass? The nodes. These are the nodes, the same nodes on.
Okay.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so I need to.
So, yeah, if there is modification on the pass, it should be like n greater than 2f.
So, no, n should be greater than 2f plus 1.
Okay.
So, but then k should be greater than.
Similar with k greater than 2f plus 1. If you consider like the nodes are also modifying Because
so k should be greater than 2f plus 1.
If you consider the nodes also will fail, because the path will send messages like if I have 2k, mm-hmm. if I am sending the same message using two paths, but the node when the message pass modifies the content of the k, it's a problem. So the nodes separately, I don't consider this case. The nodes, some few nodes will fail, and the k can there can be failure or modification, but the modification for the k. Actually, if there is modification, you need only one k.
Mm-hmm.
One k. Whether the digital node or digital link modification, if you have one link, the algorithm will work.
So, if I... So, how many modifications at most can happen in your network? If there are at most f Byzantine nodes?
I didn't consider this case. How many to fix the number? No.
Well, you have a network, n nodes.
Yes.
Among these, F can be faulty. Yes. So the other one, they are working well.
Yes.
They are nice, and you can rely on these. They are strong.
Yes.
Okay, so how many?
So if the K takes one of the normal nodes, because we have more
mm-hmm.
normal nodes which are not faulty.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have 5 as K, if one from these 5, one pass from these 5 goes using this normal nodes and the other there is modification, it will work.
Mm-hmm. But so now if instead of 5 we say it's F, okay? Then if I'm very unlucky and I get my spanning tree going through
the malicious
all the node, then no luck.
No
message can go.
Yes.
But now if my k is f plus 1, okay?
Yes.
Then, I'm lucky. Yeah, anyway, I can get one message through.
Yeah, f plus 1.
Okay, so k must be greater than f plus 1.
And greater than or equal to. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you for the precision.
Thank you.
Okay. And then what if... what happens if the... So you told me, so in the complete version, one round is in the order of n square, okay? The cost of it. And you say in your version, it's k times n.
Yes.
Okay, one per long. Okay, and now we know that k must be greater than f plus 1.
Yes.
Okay. And now that we know that k must be greater than f plus 1, how big is f, you told me?
F,
what? Which f should I choose for my network?
If we can drive it, I mean, the equation, it's like n should be greater than or equal to 2f
mm-hmm.
plus 1. So n minus 1 greater than or equal to 2f. So n minus 1 over 2. So f should be less than or equal to n minus 1 over 2.
Okay. And so it should be, and it should be more than 0. So it's up to me to choose the f.
Yeah.
No, because the n is fixed anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you fix n, you can find f.
Okay, and which f should I choose?
I didn't get which f.
Mm. So if I want to parameter my algorithm for this,
okay,
for this network, so I have my network is given to me.
Yes.
So which f can I choose?
F represents failure, the faulty nodes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So I need to choose the biggest possible so that I can tolerate more failures. No?
Yes.
Okay. Like if I choose f equals to 2, Let's say n is 1,000.
Okay.
Okay. So I can tolerate up to 300 or something like this.
You put it here, I mean, 1,000 minus 1 over 2. I mean, f should be less than this.
Hmm.
If it's above that, there is a problem.
Okay. So I choose a big f.
Okay.
Okay. In the order. And then my k is should be as big.
K should be f plus 1, at least greater than f plus 1.
Okay, so k should be greater, should be in the order of n over 2.
Should be greater than or equal to f plus 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so k is between f plus 1.
Okay.
And you see the relation between, okay?
Yes, yes.
And so if we now come back to the cost of your algorithm, one is in the order of n times n. The other one is in the order of n times k.
Yes.
But with k in the order of n minus 1 over 2.
Yes, with k greater than f plus 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So which means, actually, asymptotically,
it should be less than the complete graph, because this will never be, it can't be like the same as n.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree, it's less, but at the if we n grows to the infinity in the order of, you know?
Yeah. The goal is to compare the message complexity, whether even considering this k, but even k, it gets bigger or increases its number, it will not reach n, because to be the same or to compare with the complete graph, it should be n squared, the message just up.
O of n squared?
Yes.
And the other one is O of n times?
O of n, I mean nk.
N times k, yes. But so the problem is that k must be bigger than f. You want f to be as big as possible. And you want f to be in the order of n.
Yeah, even k gets bigger, or f, both, they can't be the same as n. If it's like n squared, no, it's not work, because this is, there is a constraint here.
Mm-hmm.
So f should be less than, much less than the number of nodes, even k.
Okay, but here I can put,
yeah.
So we have, we say that for the algorithm to work, we need k to be great, strictly greater than f.
Yes.
So that if I get my tree over there, I can at most kill one thing, and that this one works.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So k must be greater than f. So this means n up, if we get it that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. You see, here we can sneak a k in between there, because 2k plus 1 must be greater than f.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, this, what I mean, is that actually we have this. Anyway. Okay.
This will be at least to say less, I mean,
yeah, but I agree.
Even one message you can consider, doesn't matter how large k be, f be, to work the algorithm, I mean, this algorithm works more efficient than this, even with one message. I mean, the worst case, I'm just comparing, because if you consider k or f the same as n, the algorithm doesn't work, because f should be greater than, I mean, n should be greater than f plus 1.
Okay.
So, using considering different cases, we should have less number of faulty nodes.
Okay. Can we go back to slide 48 now? Can we go back a bit before? Sorry, the one with the maps. not this dependency map. This one, okay, here on the left, it's a random network. It doesn't look like random.
Yeah, it's random. For example, it can be geographic. I mean, this random geometric. It's not like AR. But if you see the number of nodes, they have more or less similar connections.
You mean in the degree?
Yes, the degree.
Okay. But in the on the right, though, it's Paolo.
Yes, the nodes with red color have more connections.
Okay, but how? I mean, it's surprising to create a link between.
I put it just to compare, to visually compare.
But do you think that in the reality, the people in Florida would directly connect Texas through Mexico or? Okay. Can we go back 48 then?
Forty-eight.
Up this one. So can you explain me that formula over there?
There are two infrastructures. This infrastructure one, infrastructure two.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own path length distribution. Or path length distribution. So we are connecting or linking these two infrastructures.
Mm-hmm.
So the linking, it's random, just randomly.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the linking.
Okay, but so here CI is a node?
CI, yes, as K.
So if I get it, you have two networks here.
Yes.
You have the network one over there.
Mm.
And the network two over there.
Mm.
Okay. These both are linked over there, like the US. Okay? That's what you mean? And then you take your eye. Can you explain?
Yes, you take some links from here. From this infrastructure, for example. It's nodes and... So this is, the paths. These three are nodes, and there is two paths. So I want to connect from this infrastructure to this infrastructure. These nodes. So this connection, it's random.
Random. What you mean?
Yeah. So you
can uniformly random.
Yeah. So you can either connect here, or yeah. And this is connected. This is one path, for example. So if we have So this is a given path and we are connecting this. For example, if this is power and this is ICT, this ICT needs power to work,
mm-hmm.
to function as a computer. So we connect using one link. So we are calculating the path length distribution. There is this length of path.
But I thought it's the number of links here, the degree.
This is the connection, this one, this middle. The equation you see, it's this one, the interconnection.
So, okay.
This one, if you see this one.
No, I want the previous one.
Yeah, but there is this equation, it's the same.
No, I want the previous one.
Okay.
Like, the 48.
Yeah.
We'll go to this one right after, but the one after depends on this one.
Yes.
So I think it's important that we understand this one first.
Yes.
And so what's the... So you take I... And I lives here, over there, no?
Mm.
for any one lower I, lower N2? So you take the I you have here?
Yes, this from this infrastructure.
I is living here, okay, yes. This little I.
Yes.
And Ci is the degree.
The random variable that counts the number of links.
So I will be looking. So let's see. Let's say this is I, and we want to know how many over there he has. That's the question. Yes.
This one. Yes. How many links this sends to this to connect to this infrastructure?
Okay. And so we say, let's assume it's k.
Yeah.
That's what you mean. P of ci equals k.
Yes.
Then how did this happen?
This n1, this n2 has this number of set of nodes.
Mm-hmm.
From this set of nodes, you can select k. From n, select k, because it can be from here or from here. So this n. This combination.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it represents, N1 over the combination symbol.
So you mean here I shoot k links,
yes,
from this I?
Yes. Yes.
And from how many different objectives can I have here? So this is C, k, N1? I never know. Or maybe the other way around. So N1 k, yes, the number of times to make groups of k, that's it, times k factorial. Okay, that's what you mean?
Yes, this one, this n, this magnitude of this n, number of nodes for the infrastructure, for this one.
Over there?
Yeah,
no, this one. N1 is over there, no?
No, N2, no. Okay. So let me check which one N1 represents. Yeah, this N1. This is N1 from the infrastructure one.
Mm.
And the K is the possibility of selecting links from N1. That's factorial because they can be ordered in different orders. And
okay. Anyway, and the next. So this is the distribution of degrees over there.
Yes.
That's what. Yes. Okay. The probability that a node I has k links to this one.
Yes. This the interconnection distribution.
Okay. And. Next slide is the path length distribution.
Yes, the length of this one, path length distribution of this infrastructure.
Can you show me the thing and explain?
Yeah, and this result I just took from one result. So this one. Is for the infrastructure one, and this is the distribution. This is for infrastructure two.
Can you? Which? So here we find your probability to have k links here.
Yes.
But I don't get. Let's say I choose a path link. Sorry. So from here, let's say. So this is the probability to have a link of size L. No?
This is a path length, so if we take one case, one path length will be this one. You have x path. For example, if you take this one, two here, one, you have this, the interconnection.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a node like with 3, it would be 2 plus 1 plus 3, 6.
The length of the path?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is the distribution.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we take all pairs somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow we have all the pairs here, and all the pairs here, and then we put them under the length. So let's say we have 6 degrees maximum of separations, because okay. I know you like it. And then it would be something like this. That's what you mean.
For the pulse.
This is the P
L, okay,
L equals K according to K over there. Yes? Yeah. This is what is plotted here.
Yeah, you can put it like that.
Okay, but why does it depend on the number of links over there? So because in the middle here, there is this number of links. It's the same formula, no?
The same formula as before.
Yes.
Because we are selecting the links randomly. Mm-hmm. Like the AR random graph, like to get the Poisson binomial distribution. You select randomly, just to show it's similar. Just to it's similar like this. Like we need to choose k other vertex out of n minus 1 to connect to u. I mean, there are n minus 1 to connect to another node. We have n nodes, mm-hmm. and a given node to connect to other node, it should be from the possibility. N1 combinatorial k.
Yeah. No, what I don't understand is what the degree distribution has to do with the path length distribution. Mm-hmm. You see, let's say here we have some links. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here, for instance, this one has a high degree, but it will never change my path over there, for instance, or over there.
Okay.
I just need one link to pass from left to right. So of course, if all the nodes are connected together, the path will be shorter, but I don't see the direct connection. Why does it pop up in this formula before?
This distribution represents because there is, we have number of nodes, the selecting from the given node, let's say n, we have to select few nodes randomly to connect to this.
Mm-hmm.
Which node, we don't know because it's random selection. So that is the equation to represent this random selection, the interlink.
Mm.
This one, you are right, it's fixed. If you have this one, just you connect. But this is distribution because of the process of selecting randomly.
Okay. And can I do in this interdependent network, can I do something like, can I have a pass? Can I have a pass like this, up, and then I go back, I do some hop, and then I go back here? Can I do this? Can I jump twice?
Yeah, using this existing, there is a link, you have a pass here.
Mm-hmm. No. Can I go in, so somehow, some power fails.
Mm-hmm. They are separate nodes.
Yeah, but this is power, you said,
yes.
And this is ICT.
Yes.
Okay, so some power fails. It yes. fails a control center.
Yes.
That fails some other power plant.
Yes.
That in cascade fails another power plant.
Yes.
That fails a...
Yes.
Can this happen?
Yes.
Okay. And so then why in your formula we just hop once, you know? On the formula you have three parts.
Yes.
Two that look the same.
Yes.
That must be the path length distribution.
The path length for the separate infrastructures. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what helps us estimating this path length distribution to know how the interdependency, how interdependent are, or the length of the interdependency. For example, if something fails, to what extent it can cascade? It gives you this hint, this interconnection.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you have to have like reason. Redundancy, other paths, instead of using one long. That's the purpose of this model.
Okay. Oh, maybe, can we go back on this formula 49? 49.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Or maybe say it differently. I want my network as interdependent as I want.
Yes.
Okay. So every node here depends on every node here. So this is a complete graph on these sides.
Okay.
Okay. So you. So what's the what's the path length? In this network, yes, in this interdependent network.
So every node depends on every node, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are estimating the distribution or the, you can call it, the distribution. For one, for example, if you take one node
mm-hmm.
and count the number of links using this one, if it depends on some of these paths here, mm-hmm. you can sum and get a given value.
Mm-hmm.
But not for one or two, how about for the whole network?
Mm-hmm.
Like for the, from this one to this one, for all nodes, their interconnection with other nodes.
Because, okay. So if everything is connected, so my networks are completely dependent, here they are all connected over there. So my probability at L equals some length, I will call it I, okay? Mm. So let's imagine, if I take two nodes here, how long must I travel to go there? At most two hops, because everything is connected through one node, so I have just to do top and back, okay?
Yeah.
So all the nodes I will pick here, both, they will be at distance two, and if I pick one node here and one node here, they will be at distance.
But there is cost problem. We can't connect everyone with everyone.
Ah, but where is the cost in this formula?
I mean, this is just toy model. If you take it to the real scenario, every ICT device can't connect with other power equipment.
Mm. Okay. And one last question. On this ADMM thing, so you exchange so if I understand well, the nodes they exchange connections, they exchange this update they computed with everyone. And so what's the impact if I'm on a sparse network or on a complete network? How would that work? What's the difference there?
Okay. The competition. This ADMM helps us to decompose a given problem. You have bigger optimization, which is difficult to solve using one computer, or so going to decompose this into parts and solve using different machines to get global solution.
Mm-hmm.
So it differs. For example, if it's complete, there is the communication constraint, whether for considering asynchronous or synchronous. For example, if it's complete, I think especially for the real case, they are not complete. We are assuming for microgrid, it's not complete network, it's sparse. So even for this sparse, the communication there is, it's asynchronous. There is a consideration of delay, some bound on how much delay the communication can be.
Okay, so I should not use that for complete graph.
Yeah, the real systems are sparse. We can assume, but in real case, they are sparse networks.
Mm. Yeah, but will that work?
Yeah, the main difference is the communication. the communication, whether we assume the complete or sparse graph. So, for example, if we take complete graph, the efficiency will be more.
More?
Yeah.
More what?
No.
So maybe I can rephrase.
Yes.
So if I use my ADMM method that you propose, can I use it on a complete network? And what will happen?
Yeah, you can use it. Uh-huh. Like, for example, decentralized, every node computes like the power consumption and send message to each other to coordinate the competition. Yeah, you can use it.
Okay, thank you.
Challenging. Intense, yeah. Yeah, you get tired. You get tired.
A lot of mathematics.
It's a lot of
You get tired. He asks to you different direction.
It's different things, yeah.
Hey, me in Facebook. I'm having some photos of you there.
Some photos here.
Yeah.
I already sent you the request. So you there will get
some.
Yeah, you'll get some photos.
Okay. I have to do the same premise as Gilles about my Italian accent. So if you do not understand, please interrupt me and make me give you the question again. So my questions are targeted to raise discussion about things that you may have explored during your PhD, but even if you have not explored, your analysis of the field and your background and your experience may still provide an answer. So, first of all, you have considered the Byzantine adversarial model, which is, of course, considered the worst case. But based on your experience and background and study of the field in power, low voltage, energy distributed systems, could you discuss which concrete attacks can be typically considered in these environments? You have talked about false data injection. But can we consider the other types of attacks which are typical? If you have, because you have analyzed, you have mentioned in your presentation about some attacks. So if you have noticed that there are attacks which are more typical in these smart grid environments, and so if you can talk about them.
This false data injection attack modifies the measurements. You can consider it, but for example, if an attacker is able to compromise measuring devices for the case of like power consumption scheduling, he or she can try to divert to change the result of the power consumption algorithm, why it should convert to a given optimal solution. So if there were modification of the measurements, and if especially for intelligent adversary, he can or she modify it to his own advantage, maybe to pay less payment. So it can be considered, but the attacker should compromise many nodes. I mean, some nodes to change the given measure, to change the result.
So, from your understanding and analysis, the most important attacks are related to integrity tampering, to tampering data tampering. And what about, for example, could it be possible to consider even nodes that have been maliciously added that can provide information, or how can be taken into account the denial of service attacks?
Yes.
Could your consensus algorithm even address these cases?
Yes, especially for the case of denial of service attack. The consensus algorithm considered asynchronous communication model, because in this asynchronous model, it doesn't the time is not bounded. Any packet or any message can reach any time. But for the case of, for example, synchronous modules, this denial service of attacks can attack or cause problems. But in this case, since we assume the asynchronous communication, it's resilient to this denial of service.
Okay, so for just curiosity, recalling what you have discussed previously about the number of Byzantine agents or whatever, and what happens if a denial of service attack compromise a lot of nodes so that they cannot participate to the protocol?
Yes.
How then does it work?
how many nodes the denial of service can cause problem? Because some nodes might not participate due to denial of service or other failures. But if majority of nodes, if the attack doesn't compromise like the equation n greater than tf plus 1, because this model, this Byzantine, considers different types of scenarios. As you mentioned, it's the worst attack scenario. So it can be one type of attack to this model. But it should be less, the attack should be less than the number of nodes.
Mm-hmm. And what, just to know, if you start with a situation, a network situation, where you have the majority of nodes participating,
yes,
to the algorithm, then a denial of service attacks compromise these nodes that have started to participate to the algorithm. Then what happens? At a certain point, they cannot input any data. They cannot anymore provide messages.
Yes.
So the algorithm takes into account this. Can it have a sort of dynamic adaptation, or it starts with a sort of predefined network topology?
Yes,
and screenshot,
yeah,
in a
yeah
sense.
Yeah, just we consider fixed network.
Fixed, okay.
Yeah, so it's not considered dynamic network.
Okay. You have done, again, from your experience, is not part of the thesis, but still it's can okay be an interesting point of discussion. So you have performed the simulations on your algorithm. So you have not done experimental verification. But still, imagine that you can experiment as a future work this algorithm into real cases. What do you expect? Do you expect there will be a big a sort of big differences between real cases and simulations? What kind of insights can you provide about this? Or real cases will pose you challenges? I know it is an estimation, a qualitative evaluation.
For example, for the case of power grid or smart grid, there is this this cyber physical system is to the physical to characterize. I think it will be more challenging because they are non-discrete systems. So for experiment to practical, it can be challenging, but it's possible.
Okay. And in chapter 2, I'm taking the chapter. You have described several types of interdependencies that comes out from the literature. Mm. And you have talked about physical interdependency, mm. cyber, geographical, yes. Logical, and then policy, informational, different definitions. So, recalling these types of interdependencies that you have described, do you think you can exploit the same model, the same network modeling techniques to take into account these interdependencies, or they require different types of network modeling? And specifically, what you, yes. which interdependencies you have specifically considered and that can be only assumed for your algorithm?
This smart grid or smart microgrid, it's one type of this cyber-physical interdependency.
Okay.
But finish this result, it focuses on the topology, on the interaction. Of course, like considering with the geographical, this special geographical information, it would be better. For example, if you can consider geographical interdependency, it's good to consider their location, their geographical characteristics. But still, for the topology, the interaction, it can give some insights.
So you think that your approach can be generalized? Or you think that maybe your algorithm should be adapted to take into account different interdependencies, from your opinion?
I'm trying to answer using the modeling interdependencies. Just we consider two infrastructures, connect them or interlink their interaction. What one infrastructure depends on the other. Just the abstract. But it can be used for the other interdependencies, but it would be better to consider like geographical proximity into account. Because if there is some failure due to geography, it can affect both infrastructures.
Mm-hmm. And maybe also the policy. Interdependency can be interesting also to consider.
Yeah.
So, and do you think that you have exploited the scale-free graphs? So, all these interdependencies can exploit these scale-free graphs, or?
This is scale-free. It's, I mean, as you know, this power grid or telecommunications, they're large-scale systems. We can't even see to what extent the systems are. So this scale-free or general complex network gives us to abstract and study their property, characterize based on their topology. So it gives some insight, but it doesn't represent the real system exactly. It's just a way of studying, getting some information about their robustness.
Okay. And these interdependencies, which role do they play in complicating the message complexity and in degrading or improving the efficiency of the consensus algorithm? Do you think, for example, can you estimate whether a geographical interdependencies affect the efficiency of the algorithm and the message complexity more than cyber interdependencies or geographical or physical? Is it possible to, as a future work or whatever, of course, to evaluate, do you have, the question is, do you already have the model and the functioning of the algorithm on the basis of which you can estimate this?
Yeah, the algorithms didn't consider the interdependency, but it can be as future work. Just it considers as a separate networks, just for one infrastructure. But it's possible, and it can be considered as future work.
Yes, because I think the algorithm should be should consider this different type of interdependencies. Okay, and trying to envision a real case. So if an attack is detected, and you have partially answered before, but we can go in detail. If an attack is detected and it is possible to isolate the part of the network which is affected, how does it work? Do you have to restart the algorithm from the beginning? Because you have mentioned it before that it is not possible to dynamically adapt. So the algorithm cannot be readjusted to address the changes. But so what happens? How can this information can be taken into account to better inform the next performing of the algorithm?
One way is to have redundant nodes measuring same information. For example, if there are four nodes, if they can listen what one node is sending a message, and if it deviates from a given threshold, the neighbor can know there is this one is malicious or cheating or modifying data. So if they agree, the nodes like communicating, especially using the consensus, can isolate the node which is modifying data. Of course, with given bound range, if it's like easily detectable. Otherwise, if it's within the range, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, can you depict a very, very small example with some nodes and explain how it can happen?
Okay. Let's say, especially for the run. So let's say we have nodes here. And just we consider these two. So these three nodes can listen, especially if it's wireless, what those nodes were, what this node sends, and what this node sends. Because it's wireless, the data can be broadcasted, and we assume they listen, these nodes. So when they listen, this nodes, if this node is behaving differently from what the node should behave, those four nodes know it's behaving differently, and they will get measurements. So if this node is, say, the node is not behaving according it should, so they agree on this decision and they can isolate this network, this node. Yeah, this is one example I can give.
Okay. And recalling the experimental part, I'm just wondering, if you have to exploit your solution in a real case, so suppose you have a real smart grid environment, and given a specific attack model, so for example, considering a denial of service model, what should you provide to the to your solutions as inputs? So the topology of the network? What kind of things do you need to provide to your solution in order to be realistically and experimentally tested? Yeah. What do you need to really perform the experimental results?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Because this can provide also what kind of extensions may be required to your work and what kind of efforts. So I'm interested in understanding this.
Yeah, as you mentioned, one, the topology, the number of nodes, the connection, interconnection, because the communication depends on the connection. The communication mechanism.
In terms of protocols, whatever?
Like the whether synchronous or asynchronous.
Okay.
Because there could be delayed to bandwidth, so asynchronous model is good. Two cases. One that tests the ICT nodes, like the power nodes. It's good to consider different tools. Like there are tools to model network, power network, and the ICT. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. The last question is, what is the worst case, not in terms of Byzantine in general, but again, thinking about real cases that affect the message complexity, for example, from the type of network model, or what is the factor that mainly affect message complexity and increase message complexity?
And the primitive assumption, whether we are using this flooding, just when a node receives a message, it rebroadcasts and the other rebroadcasts. Every message reaches every node, it will be more cost number of messages. So the communication primitive, or whether it's broadcast, floating, reliable broadcast, that's important, the initial assumption, yes.
And do you think that this communication can be, is independent of the interdependency, or can depend on the network in the interdependency? This kind of flooding or whatever is independent from, is just dependent on the communication mechanism you exploit, or can also depend on the topology of the network and on the interdependency between among networks?
Both the topology, as of now we consider the topology, but the interdependence also is very important. Yeah, because the message should be communicated using the interdependency links. So how many dependencies do you have, whether they are independent or other cases? So yes, it depends on both.
Okay, I think I've finished.
I think according to protocol, Goitom, you have the chance to address the audience with a little message before the committee will go out and discuss the outcome of the
meeting. Yeah, thank you very much for the examiners, for your effort, your time, your challenging questions. And I'd like to thank my supervisor, Professor Stefan, for his excellent supervision. support patients. And my second supervisor, Professor Slobodan, for his discussions. And NIST Lab in general, for providing excellent research environment. The administration, Steiner Rive, Niels, and Richard, Catherine, many AMT administration for their support. And everybody, thank you very much. Of course. Thank you.
I then invite the administrator of the committee to present the outcome of their decision.
Thank you, Nils. Well, the assessment committee has unanimously approved your thesis and your defense, Goitom. So our congratulations
Thank
are
you.
In order.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for participating in my defense. I'd like to thank you, everyone. And I just forgot to mention before, for the CCIS, I would like to thank the CCIS, the team, and Sophia for supporting, funding the final stage of my thesis. Thank you very much.